Indeed, come and speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this morning we continue in our series, All In, and All In for Transformation. Throughout the season of Easter, we've been talking about what kind of church it is that the Lord is building here at St. Peter's. And it's one where we're all in. We're all invested. We're all growing. We're all in it for transformation. We talked first about what it means to be all in, and we looked at 1 Corinthians 12, and there the Apostle Paul explains that every one of us is vital to the cause, that all of us have been equipped with a gift or more for the common good. And so each and every one of us is essential to what the Lord is doing here. And Paul goes on to describe a body that is crippled, that's hampered when each part is not playing its role in the life of the body. And so we're all vital, we're all essential, we're all meant to be in, all in. And that's the kind of church that we want to be. And that's contrary to so many churches that are being built today, where a small number of people do the vast majority of the work and others are spectators to what is going on. We all want to be in, but we all want to be in for the right thing. We all want to be in for transformation. A reminder that we are not, regardless of how far we've traveled, what it is that the Lord wants us to be. We looked at 2 Corinthians 3 and we saw that the role of the Holy Spirit in the new covenant is to transform us into the likeness of Jesus. And some of us have made great headway in that regard, but none of us have arrived at where the Lord wants us to be. And so we have to be in it for transformation. We have to figure out what it means to forgive because Jesus forgives. We have to figure out what it means to serve because Jesus served. We're all in for the transforming power of the Holy Spirit to make us more like Jesus today than we were yesterday. That is the vision of this church. That is what your leaders have studied and worked on for many years and revisited in recent months. That's what we're invested in. We intend to make everyone a part of what God is doing here. We have a vision, we have intention, and we have the means. The means by which we do that are through purpose-driven teams. The members of the leadership council serve to lead these teams of worship and discipleship, evangelism, fellowship, and service. And we gather together in those teams in hopes of creating other teams beneath them so that every person has a way in, if you will, access to this vision of all in and all in for transformation. And we want to rehearse that vision. So you might know where we're going, that you might walk with us in that way, that you might know who these leaders are and what they're responsible for, that you might engage them in conversation about how to be a part of what God is doing here at St. Peter's. In these past few weeks, we've talked about worship and discipleship and evangelism. Next week, we'll talk about fellowship, but today we talk about service, what it means to be involved in the life of the church in terms of ministry and to serve God as He has served us in Jesus Christ. I can remember not long ago, a man very eager to meet me at the back of the church and tell me about his Christian faith and how he had been a member of the Lord's army for many years. And I said, wow, is that right? I said, well, I guess it must have been the Secret Service that you were a part of. What do you mean? He said, well, I've never seen you here. It had been a long time since he had darkened the doors of a church. He wasn't engaged. He wasn't all in to what the kingdom was about and what God was doing through it. If we're true to the Word, if we're true to what God is teaching us, we'll know that an inactive member is an oxymoron when it comes to church life. There's no such thing. To be a member is to be engaged. To be a member is to make yourself available and use your gifts for the welfare of the kingdom. That's what we hear. We want to take a close look at the gospel lesson in Matthew 20, if you want to follow along. Matthew 20, picking up at verse 20 this morning. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. She came with them, and it was from a humble posture that she asked. But Jesus said, what is it that you want? And she said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I am going to drink? We can, they answered. She wants a place of privilege to accrue to their intimate relationship with Jesus, that they might be elevated in such a way beyond the others, obviously, the 10 who are behind them. But Jesus said, do you really know what you're asking? Ministry is hard. Ministry means drinking from the cup that I'm going to drink. And that cup leads to sacrifice. That cup leads to suffering. That cup leads to pain. And Jesus says, can you drink the cup I am going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right hand or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. You will indeed drink from my cup, as if they will do it involuntarily. They don't understand what it is they're being called to do, but they will drink from that cup. They will pay a price for advancing the cause of Jesus. That's what he asked of his disciples. That's what he asked of James and John, and that's what he's asking of us. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant. With the two brothers, Jesus called them together and said, you know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is making a comparison, isn't he? He's comparing and contrasting the way of the world in which people lord authority over others in an unhealthy way. That's precisely what the request of James and John's mother is to allow them to a place of privilege as if they are entitled. But that's not the way of the kingdom. The way of the kingdom, Jesus describes in this way, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. There's a reversal of fortune. It's those who sacrifice privilege, those who sacrifice entitlement, who are elevated to leadership within the life of the kingdom. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. To serve and to give his life. Give is better translated to deliver or commit. Give is not strong enough in this in the NIV. It should be deliver or commit his life as a ransom for many. And that's precisely what he did. And to serve is to be a deacon. What David Hudspeth is to us right now, someone who shows up at a service on Sunday morning and says, what needs to be done? I'll do whatever it takes. And of course, the Lord is asking us to have that mind within us throughout everything that we do, throughout the week, 24/7, not just on Sunday morning. And of course, that's upon David's heart as well. So we hear in what Jesus is teaching us that there is the way of the world and there is the way of the kingdom. And they are two entirely different things. That ministry and service in the life of the kingdom doesn't lead to privilege. It doesn't lead to entitlement. It leads to suffering and to pain, to drinking from the cup from which he drinks. And we are being called to do that. James and John are being called to do that. The other 10 are being called to do that. We, in this fellowship, this community of faith called St. Peter's, are being called to do that. And we should know that it goes against the grain of church life in the modern day. Some sad things have happened within the life of the church that are not always apparent to those within the church. Sometimes we have to take a step back and look at it from afar and see what's going on. One of the great challenges for the modern church is a clericalism. That is where people in collars and robes have taken over the ministry of the people. You know, we know from Peter that all of us are members of the priesthood of all believers. We're all meant to be engaged in the life of the church. And in a power quest or for whatever reason, many clerics have built churches built upon the ordained, if you will, the clergy, the paid staff, being the leaders of ministry or the ones only ones doing ministry. And they've stripped out of your hands what is rightfully yours and what the Lord expects you to exercise. And there's also in the life of the church in the 20th and 21st century a consumerism that fights against what it is that the Lord's trying to achieve. Often, we're asking, what's in it for me? As opposed to, what do I have for the kingdom? And it's because the church teaches us to do that. One of my good friends, and a man I love dearly, is in the business of promoting, building churches, church growth based on felt needs. John, let's go out and do a survey. Let's figure out what people want to hear and then preach those messages. And that's a great way to build a church. It's a really poor way to advance the kingdom. Because it's the gospel that defines our need, and it is to be redeemed. And it's the new covenant that defines where we're going. It is to be transformed. And so preaching to felt needs, preaching to tickle people's ears, no matter how big of a church it builds, it will not advance the kingdom of God because it's based on entirely different principles. It's based upon truth. It's based upon sacrifice. It's based upon suffering in the cup from which Jesus drinks. And so we live in a world where church life is often like a football game where there are 22 people desperately in need of rest on the field and 80,000 people in the stands who are ready to go and need to be exercised. We want to get out of the stands and onto the field, every single one of us. That's where we're being called to be. And God has equipped you in a special way to do that. Rick Warren talks about you having a shape that is an acronym for spiritual gifts, for a place where your heart is, a place where he's given you abilities and personality and experience to further the kingdom of God. And you are meant to offer that. Now, that requires something of you. It requires, one, that you, as Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 2:4, that we are to be folks who think more highly of other people, think more often of other people than we do ourselves. It's not what is in it for me. It's what do I have that will make it work better? What do I have that I can offer someone else? And we also have to take on this mind, as he tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:9, that his power is best shown in our weakness. So often we want to act out of our strength. Like, we know what another person needs, or we know what the church needs. When what he requires before us is like the mother of James and John as she comes before Jesus to kneel and to receive a vision of where he's leading us. And then go there, operating not out of our strength, but out of our weakness, allowing him to work through us. You've heard me say many times before, the great reformer Martin Luther said this, that when you become nothing, God can make you something. That's the kind of humility that God requires of us if we are to serve the kingdom. And I want to say to you, we're well on the road to serving the kingdom well. We have many ways to serve. Some of our high points are BHN, which is coming up and a great way to serve. You'll hear more about it. Birmingham Hospitality Network, a place that's binding together churches all around a community to meet the needs of those who have been forced out of a home for whatever reason, a loss of a job or a fire, some unfortunate circumstance. And we're coming together 4 times a year to meet those needs. But we're also a part of Restoration Academy. We're part of Grace House. We've had tutors in Restoration Academy. We've taken supplies to both of those places. We're becoming more engaged at Grace House that we might serve those who are less fortunate. We're heavily involved in Rwanda through Sunrise. We're involved in Uganda through Mustard Seed. We are engaged in acts of service, but there's a place for us to have our hands on that, for each of us to be engaged. And for me, some of our high points over the last few years have been personal, how we serve each other within the life of the body. I'm so proud of the way in which we responded when Lizzie Wood, born to Les and Corinne, a couple of years ago, was hospitalized for so long, and under the leadership of Julia May Hoke and Shalette Still and others, how we came together for months, not days, not weeks, but months, to provide them meals as they had need. As she grew to become the beautiful little girl that she is, but being hospitalized and making life incredibly difficult. That's the people who see a need within the body and say, I have a ministry. I have a way of reaching out to them. That's one of the beautiful ways in which we are involved in ministry here. Another is that of Vacation Bible School. We're non-traditional in that regard as well. We're non-traditional in most things that we do here at St. Peter's. But we don't any longer wait for people to come to us. We go out to them. Under Mary Elizabeth's leadership, we've been in Lubman Village now for a few years and doing great work out there and seeing people's lives transformed. And for those of us who can't even understand it, we learn through our kids that it can be done. They engage a culture and people that they've never met and love them with the gospel, and love them with the love of Jesus as he loves us. There are ways to be involved, and we want you to be involved in some way. Every one of us, all in for transformation, all in for ministry and service. Barry Saunders is here this morning. John Turner's in the service. Tiffany Denson couldn't be with us, but they're on the leadership council, and they're committed to seeing people engaged. And that's their only function. And so they're not even aware of everything we're doing, but they will take the responsibility. If you see them after a service, if you see them out in the ark and you say, you know, I really feel called to be involved in this. And if they don't know how to become involved, they'll find out. They'll work with the staff and the liaisons and with me to say, yeah. And what happens is that someone like Victor Sung, who's new to our church, expresses that he's a violinist. And then we get the pleasure of him leading us in worship because he made himself available and said that he would play. And we put him to work. We engage him in ministry. Holly Powell, new to our church, and she's creating a ministry to those who are adoptive and foster parents, putting those gifts to work with those who are coming and with those who have been here. So I encourage you to see Barry. I encourage you to see John. Tell them you want to become involved, that you buy into this vision, all in and all in for transformation, and you want to explore what gift you have, what means of service that you have to advance the cause of Christ. And they'll work with you. And it'll happen. And we'll become the very thing that God is calling us to be. Not an 80-20 church, but 100% of us engaged in the life of the kingdom to the glory of God.